I thank you all for everything you did for me this morning. I went home and couldn't quite believe that you loved me that much. And I said to God, I said, God, you know what? I said, I know what I'm feeling because God's getting ready to release you and I'm going to lose you. And I don't want to do that because I love you so much. But you know, mothers and fathers have to let go of their children, right? They have to let them go and explore and do whatever God's calling them forth to do. So I don't know when that day is going to be, but it's going to be a sad day for me. But I know it's going to be a great day for you. Amen. God is totally and completely in control of all things, whether we think it, believe it, or whatever. God is truly in control of all things. Sometimes you say, really, God? But yes, really, God. He is in control of all things. And you know, I think really what we need to do is get our eyes off of what God is doing with us for a little season and see what he's doing through you to the world. Not what he's doing with you, but what he's doing through you to the world, because you're the vessel that he's wanting to move through to do the great mighty works that he's calling us to do. Well, Father, I just thank you and I praise you that these people who have come into these services, service after service, they have withstood the woodshed so many times. They've gone through the furnace of affliction. And Father God, they always came back smiling, ready to go further than they were the day before. I know, Father God, that you're taking them into the heights of heaven that very few go through. But Father God, as you take them into those heights of glory, keep them. Keep them, Father God, in your loving arms. Give them strength and give them courage to do the work that you've called them forth to do. I thank you, Father God, that your Holy Spirit's in the church tonight. I thank you, Father, that we are never left alone because we always have the Holy Spirit to lead God and direct us. And Father, I keep hearing you say fortitude. So keep us in that place, Father God, and move us forth in your might and in your power. Amen. You know, guys, you will never know how you touch other people's lives. This little church has touched so many people's lives over the years. And it's caused them to grow and go forth and do the works that God wants them to do. So what you have to do is make sure that you're on the road that God wants your feet on and doing the things that he's calling you to do, not what you want to do, but what he's calling you to do, and just keep walking so that you can touch those lives out there that need to be touched. Each one of us have lives that God has already assigned for us to touch. And we can't pick and choose who those people are. God knows exactly where to send his people that they receive exactly what they have need of. And we all know that a lot of people couldn't sit in this church. We know that. So, and God knows that, so he sets them in another church. We also know that some of you couldn't sit in other churches, so God sent you here. You have to understand that. Don't try to hold to your bosom what God is trying to send forth someplace else. Tonight we're going to talk about healing belongs to us. Talking about the greater works still. If we would just for one second forget about ourselves and listen to the voice of God, we would hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what God's telling me to tell you right now. And then if you would do that and you would hear that, then you wouldn't be so perplexed at what's going on around about you. You would understand that you are a vessel of honor that God has plucked out of the fire and that he's bringing forth for this dispensation of time. All right? And the things that are going on around about you, you can endure. You can. Or God wouldn't let them go on around about you. And each thing that's going on around about you is to strengthen you and to make you stronger so he can send you forth into this mixed up dark world. All right, John 14, we're going to read some scriptures over that we read this morning. But John 14, 12 says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, you're going to have to believe that Jesus is, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. As you read the word, the red letters, healing is what Jesus did. Healing is what Jesus did. This is also our inheritance through Jesus Christ, and we should be healing the sick and raising the dead. We are lax in that area. When people come into the house of God, or people come into your home, or you meet somebody in your workplace, and they need healed, you should have enough faith to step in there and pray for them, and not just pray for them, but to believe as you pray that God is there doing what you're praying for. Remember what I said this morning? God told me, whatever you lay your hands to do, I will do it. So as you're praying for somebody, you pray in Jesus' name, and you pray that God will heal them. And Jesus says he will do it. But see, you have to have faith and believe that. The enemy will come and come and come and come trying to steal your faith in that area particularly. Because as we know right now, there's a lot of sickness in the body of Christ all over the world. And this is something that Satan has brought into the body of Christ, trying to discourage us and trying to get us to walk away from God instead of walking closer to him. If you read any of the articles about pastors and everything else, they are being attacked physically like never before. And if you read about people who are strong in the Lord, they are being attacked physically like never before. And this is a ploy of the enemy to make us stop. We're not going to stop, are we? No. No, we're not. So in Matthew 8, verse 5, Jesus heals a centurion's servant. Now, we're reading some scriptures about the healings that he did. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast down into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. Jesus didn't need to go into that servant's home, into that centurion's home, and touch that servant. He just spoke a word. So you don't, what I'm saying here, we don't have to have the person in front of us. Whenever people send in prayers for healing for people, as we pray in faith, our words, Jesus takes them and goes to that person and heals them. Are you understanding this? You don't have to be anywhere near them. Just pray the prayer of faith. And Jesus said, whatever you ask me, that I will do for you. All right, and then in Matthew 8:14, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So Jesus touched her hand, didn't do no elaborate prayer, dance around and shout and scream. He touched her hand and the fever left her and she arose and served them. You know, sometimes I just rub my head and say, I don't understand this. People have to get in front of somebody and scream and shout and rub and go on. And, you know, and you don't need to do all that. God does not want religion whenever you're asking him to heal somebody. He wants faith. Plain faith. Now, in Matthew 8:28, Jesus heals two demon-possessed men. In these verses, we see demons speaking to Jesus, and we say that you shouldn't speak to demons. But verse 28 says, when Jesus had come to the other side, to the country of the Gerasenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. It was two men, but they were demon-possessed, all right? And suddenly they cried out, saying, What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? It was the demon speaking to Jesus, not the two men. Now, a good way off from there, from them, there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons, say, not the men, the demons begged Jesus, saying, If you cast us out... You know, if you cast us out, of course Jesus was going to cast them out, right? Permit us to go away into the herd of swine. And Jesus said to them, Go. He said to the demons. So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine. And suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. So when somebody is demon possessed and you see it, you need to command those demons. You don't need to talk to the man or anything else. Command those demons to come out in Jesus' name, and they have to go because Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do. I'm going to be honest with you. There's been times I've been around people that if I told them they had demons, they would have slapped me in the face. And so I quietly would say to myself and talking to Jesus, Father God, deliver them from these demonic beings. And they were delivered. I didn't have to shout and show my authority. I just quietly talked to the Father. And he did what I asked him to do. Now, Matthew 9:1-7, Jesus heals a paralytic. What is most interesting here is that we see no mention of this paralytic asking for forgiveness. A lot of people say, well, you have to say the sinner's prayer and do this, that, and the other for God to heal you. All right? So Jesus got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, see that? Not the man's faith, their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, Rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Now when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. So a person doesn't have to ask for healing. You see they need healing, you pray for that person. And, you know, I've run across many people who were not saved, didn't know anything about Jesus at all, and I saw that they had needed a healing, and I would pray, and they would be healed. Now, they didn't give their heart to God just because God healed them. They did not. They just marveled that they were healed. And then later on down the road, I found out they did give their heart to God. But God has to start somewhere in somebody's life to get their attention to do what he needs to do to get them to come into his kingdom. Now, this is all stuff that we're supposed to be doing, all right? This is stuff we're going into, so remember it. Matthew 9:18, a girl is restored to life by Jesus, and a woman is healed by touching Jesus' garment. Matthew 9:23, when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, Make room, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. And suddenly, so here he heals this young lady. I didn't want to read all the scripture, but here she was literally dead, and he got everybody out of the house, and then he healed her, and she got up off the deathbed. So what I'm saying is, you might have too many doubt and unbelievers around about you, and you need to sort of scoot them out of the way, and so that you can pray for them. I mean, for the person that you're to be well. You don't need a whole audience. All you need is you, Jesus, and the person that you're praying for. All right, Matthew 9:20, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of Jesus' garment. For she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer. Daughter, your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. That scripture tells me I don't need none of you praying for me, right? All I need to do is have faith that if I could just touch the throne of grace, God will heal me. You see this? So if you're sick, you don't have to broadcast it and have everybody pray for you. What you need to do yourself is you just need to get before the Father and touch him on his throne room, and he will heal you. Because a lot of people think, well, the only way I can get healed is somebody touches me, you know, or somebody's praying for me. No, we have to get our faith working, and we need to touch the throne of grace for our own healings. Because I'm going to tell you, some people praying for you don't want you healed. They really don't. and you really don't want some people praying for you. All right, Luke 7:11 says, now it happened the day after that Jesus went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when Jesus came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and he touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. Jesus is raising the dead. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. So there is a scripture where Jesus raised, and there's many, I gave you the list, but here's one where Jesus raised the son from the dead. Why? Because he had compassion on the mother who was weeping over her dead son. What we can do also is we can do the same thing. We can draw on the compassion of God when we're praying for somebody to be healed. All right, in John 5:20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. God's just waiting for one of us to get enough faith to pray, and as you pray, believe that what you pray is coming to pass. All right? Now I'm going to bring up Job. I was telling some people today that, you know, God took his good time at healing Job. So, you know, you could have 1,000 people pray for you and you not be healed because God's not ready yet to manifest that healing for some reason. I forgot who it was. Some pastor's wife went to every preacher there was that, you know, prayed and people were healed, and she was never healed. Oh, she went into a state of depression. They were on TV. I can't think of anywhere. But anyhow, she had everybody praying for her, and she stayed in that depression. She was so depressed, she wouldn't get out of bed. She wouldn't do nothing. Then all of a sudden, the family said, they were sitting out there by the table, in the kitchen table, and here she came. Hi, guys. She had gotten up, took a bath, washed her hair, and the depression was gone. When God was ready, God healed her of that depression. Now, I'm not going to argue with you. I just know, I know what God does, and I know there are times when you pray, he's not ready yet to do what you pray for. And so you can't, what I'm saying, I said this to say this, I said that to say this. So if you pray for somebody and they're not healed, don't get discouraged, because God has a perfect timing for everything. I've read where God has, you know, everybody's prayed for a person and they've died and gone to heaven. And God wanted them to do that. He wanted them to come to heaven because he wanted them to give them some instruction. When he sent them back, they raised the dead because of the anointing that was on their lives from sitting in the very presence of God in heaven. Are you understanding this? Because sometimes I believe we beat ourselves up. And really, truly, it's not God's will to do what you're asking him to do. All right? All right, Matthew 15:28, a demon-possessed girl. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But Jesus answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But Jesus answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, he wasn't supposed to be praying for her. He wasn't supposed to be doing anything for her. Then she came and worshiped Jesus, saying, "Lord, help me." But Jesus answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." In other words, Jesus was not supposed to take the anointing that he was supposed to have for the Jewish people and give this to this lady, all right? And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She was persistent. She had faith. Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. God loves it for you to get to challenge him. He really did. He loves a good fight. And he loves it when you come up near, he doesn't do what you ask. He loves it when you come back and you start having a little argument with him that you want this thing to be done. And this is what she did, and her daughter was healed. Let's talk about the Pool of Bethesda. This was really blows my mind, really. John 5:2-9. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool, stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. It just must have been one person, from what I read here, that got the healing after all this stuff. One person. You had to get there quickly. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one." Instead of saying yes, you know, here's his excuse. "I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." So Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was a Sabbath, and he was supposed to be healing on the Sabbath, all right? But so here, some of us do the very same thing. God said, "You want to be made well?" Then we get in this long, drawn-out conversation of excuses, you know, and all God wants is either a yes or a no. He doesn't want a dissertation, you know? So just, you know, it's either yes, I want to be healed, or no, I don't want to be healed. Are you getting this? And maybe the person you're praying for, you're praying with your faith, but they're doubting, they're walking in doubt and unbelief, and they're, "I don't know if this is going to happen or not." And you know, and so that's nullifying everything you're praying, because God is not going to go against this person's will. All right? John chapter 5, verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. So that's telling me right there that you might be praying for somebody to be raised from the dead, but that might be not be God's will, and it might never happen. So you can't get upset. You know, God's told us what we're supposed to be doing, and he tells us we have to walk in total faith, and then so that's what we do, and then it's up to the Father what he does with that. The Father knows the person's heart that you're praying for. He knows what that person wants. It's not doesn't matter what you want. He knows what that person wants. Are you understanding this? Just like when I prayed for that pastor, he was so anointed, and and he was getting ready to build a big church and do wonderful things, but then he had a heart attack, and he didn't want to come back. So God told me he doesn't want to come back. In fact, he brought the man back long enough to tell me he didn't want to come back. Please quit praying for me. So, you know, so I'm not going to keep praying for somebody that's dead that doesn't want to come back. If you want to stay in heaven, I don't blame you. I would too. You go ahead and go back there and have fun, right? It, you know, if you keep praying and you get obnoxious about it, then that's you being selfish. All right, when my mother died, I didn't realize she was holding on because she knew that I wanted her to live. And I prayed for her to live. And one night, we rushed her to the hospital, and then I went home for something and came back, and I looked at her, and I said, Mother, if you want to go to be with the Father, go ahead. She said, are you sure, honey? I don't want you to be unhappy. I said, Mom, you go ahead and be with the Father. And she took my hand and grinned, looked up in the corner, and she said, I'm ready, and she died just like that. But she was holding on to her life because of me. She knew that I really would be lonely without her. And see, I had to forget about me because I saw that, you know, they just were treating her bad and just let her go ahead and go to be with the Father. And many times she'd sit right over there, and many times after that I'd be here preaching and she'd be sitting there smiling at me. So our loved ones are watching over us in heaven. And, you know, so let's be happy that they're gone to be with the Father. They're out of their pain and their misery. And thank God they're not living in this time and age because it's bad, right? Let's quit being selfish. Took me 3 years to get her, but then finally God said, are you going to die with your mother or are you going to work for me? You go walk among the living and work for me. And so I had to make myself get out of that state of grief and walk on. And you know, God wasn't really, he was upset, but not really upset. He had to get my attention, all right? All right, the simple fact that Jesus healed all that came to him shows that he was not asking them to meet a certain criteria before healing would be allowed, all right? The simple fact that Jesus healed all that came to him shows that he was not asking them to meet a criteria, certain criteria before healing would be allowed. And a lot of people believe that, but that's not true. We had a man who came here when we was having a revival all the time, and he was really sick. I think he had cancer. I'm not sure anymore. It's been quite a few years ago. And I prayed and prayed for his healing because God was doing healings. He was just healing people all over the place. And I said, God, why aren't you healing him? And he gave me the word wormwood, which is bitterness. He would not let go of bitterness. And God said, I can't heal him as long as he's holding on to bitterness. And the man died. And the wife said he wasn't in bitterness, but God said he was. And then we did find out he really was. But, you know, see, God knows all things. They were both denying it, but really, truly, when it came down to it, they told us the truth, and he really was bitter about a situation in his life. So, you know, when you're praying for healing for somebody, and they don't get healed, you need to ask God, what's going on here? Why is this person not being healed? Because your faith is at its peak, and you just know that God's going to move in there and do the healing. And when he does, there's always a reason why. Nothing to do with you. You've done all you know to do. It's something in that person that God's trying to get changed. And he can't if the person won't allow him to. All right, another note that is important to remember, Jesus did not always wait until people asked him to heal them. All right, just remember that. If you see somebody that's sick, maybe they don't know to ask Jesus to heal them, you know? A lot of people don't know that. And so what you do, you go up to them and say, I'd like to pray for you. And then you don't even have to pray the healing out loud. You pray that to yourself. Just be blessing them. But inside, you're asking God to touch them and heal them. All right? In John 21:25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. All right, so I told you, we read the scriptures this morning, and I told you there will be things God will have you do with people that people haven't heard about, but that does not mean it's not God. Because God will back that up. He will confirm that what he asked you to do is of him. All right, there are a whole lot of things that Jesus did that we have no knowledge of. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was healing back then. He's still healing today. All right. Jesus sends out the 12 disciples in Matthew 10:7-8. And as you go, now you're the disciples, right? So, and this is Jesus talking to you. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Yeah, and I would say cleanse the lepers is things like cancer, and that's what the lepers is, all that kind of disease. Raise the dead, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely give. Now, just as Jesus commissioned the 12 disciples, we too are commissioned in like manner. This is what God is doing with us with these teachings we've been going through for the last 2 weeks. He is getting us ready to go out there, and even in here, heal the sick. And I've told you that when I would walk, I used to always walk when I taught, and I just touched people on the shoulder, not knowing I was doing anything. I was just trying to, you know, steady myself, and people got healed. I never prayed for them. They never told me they were sick. God just healed them because God knew they were sick and God wanted them healed. Now, God will give you a word of knowledge about somebody. And I always think about Larry when he very first came to the church. You know, he was here for prayer, then for some reason or other. And then he turned around and was walking away. And I said, oh, by the way, Larry, God said your back is healed. And then I found out, and he said he thought to himself, yeah, heard that before. I found out he had a very bad back and he couldn't sleep that night because he couldn't, if he did, he just couldn't get up and walk. But anyhow, he went to bed that night. Slept for 12 hours, and he got away and said, oh, no, I'm not going to be able to move. But he got out of bed because God had healed his back when he told him that. As he was walking away, God spoke a word of knowledge to him. All right, so healing belongs to us. In other words, we have the power to go out and the anointing to go out and heal people. God will give you a word of knowledge about a person. Speak it to them. All right, speak it out to them. All right, this was a word God gave me. Healing in my wings. I am bringing healing into this place this night. And I want to heal all your infirmities, not just one or two. I want to set you on the highest pinnacles of the mountain, and there you will minister out of the heavenly realm instead of the earthly realm. So what we need to do is get out of this earthly realm, this not head knowledge junk, and go up into the heavenly realm where God can work through us. Too many sick in my houses, and what kind of testimony is that? And that is true. People say, well, if your God is such a good God and he performs miracles, how come you're sick? Now, don't let that deter you either, because you like that answer to that also, wouldn't you? And I say, well, when I get the answer, I'll let you know. You know, I'm not going to argue with anybody about my word. I'm just not. All right, it is time to step over into the healing waters of Bethesda and be healed from every infirmity. And what God showed me was he wants us to step into those waters at the pool of Bethesda so that we could be healed of anything that's going on in our life, you know. And then we'll have the power and authority to go forth and do the works that Jesus did. And I'm hearing him say, do it abundantly. So that's the greater works, right? We have sat on the sidelines way too long. And you know, and I know whenever, you know, the anointing, God just used me to heal, and just all kind of miracles. And I know when it waned, I was standing right here, and we had a prayer line, and somebody was really sick. And I laid hands on them, I prayed the prayer of faith, and then I said to myself, is this really going to work? And I know it works. You know, when you walk through the things I walk through, I know it works. What do you suppose that was? That was the enemy. Because if everything everybody was telling me, that everything I was doing was not godly, then the enemy put that little seed of doubt. Are they really going to be healed? That was when the healing left me, the anointing for healing. I stepped over into doubt and unbelief and got out of faith. So if any of you have done that, if you know that you've done that, then you need to step back over into faith. And like when God told me, daughter, I'm just waiting on you, what he was talking to me about was he's waiting for me to get into total, complete faith like I used to have so he could work through me abundantly. All right? If you're going to walk in a Catherine Coleman anointing, you can't have no doubt whatsoever. And we truly do have to become just like little children. Go to the Father just plain dumb and just be a vessel he can work through. He does want no head knowledge in his presence. He just wants an empty vessel that he can fill up with himself. And then watch. See, if you really had the faith, and if you really had the faith, when you're flagging and you go up and down, people would be healed. And you can't have any doubt and unbelief that it's not going to happen. And I tell you, when you girls weren't here that one day, I could tell the anointing wasn't as strong. It wasn't in the altar at all. Let's just put it that way. And so I knew, and I keep telling you guys, you're anointed with those flags. And I said, well, God, here's the proof right here. The girls aren't here flagging, and the anointing's not here. So see, there's an anointing in your flagging, and all you have to do is you're walking around here, and even as you run, all you have to do is believe when you're running, God's anointing's flowing out of you, and it's touching people and doing whatever God needs to do within them. The simplest things are the things that God uses. All right? I watched God use, you know, work through me and with the simplest things. I thought it totally blew my mind. And all I am is a vessel, and all you are is a vessel. And you are not to be out there so people recognize you. You are there so God can work through you. And I always say, God, I don't speak very well. I don't have charisma. And then because he always told me, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. And the other day, I happened to make that statement to God, and God said, as I am with Moses, as I was, I am with you. And Moses stuttered, he said. But look how I used him. So don't take no excuses to God, because he's not going to hear that. He's called you, he's anointed you, and he's appointed you to be a vessel of honor that he can work through. Now, are you ready to endure? Are you ready to stand the test of time? In other words, are you really, really ready for him to send you forth out there into this dark world? And I don't mean leave the church, I mean go out. You know, go to your jobs, go to the grocery stores, go wherever, and just allow God to use you. You know, Naomi has had many, many experiences of that. You know, she goes to, God will tell her to go to a restaurant, and she's seen people touched in many, many ways. Are we seeing the same thing happen? You have to ask yourself something. When I go to Walmart at 12 o'clock at night, am I just going to Walmart and buying some stuff? Or am I a vessel of honor that God can work through as I walk through those aisles? You know? Because that's the way God works. He works in simplicity. The simplest things. If you just yield yourself to him, he'll work through you. All right? Well, the altar's open tonight for God to really touch you in a different way than he's ever touched you before. Because now, what did he say? Healing belongs to us. So the power, the anointing to heal, belongs to us. And as you come up here tonight, you're believing that God is going to touch you with that special anointing, that special power to go forth and lay hands on the sick, or even just speak the words and have God move mightily.